Do other people honor our values? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capel, California, with the thought for today. Do other people honor our values? And the answer is no. No one honors our values. No one knows what our values are. No one knows what we believe. No one knows what's important to us. No one knows who we think we are or who we act like. People only know by what we express of ourselves who we are. Now, does anyone in this world respect our values? Only if we do. If you are a mathematician, and you are a professional mathematician, and you're good at math, and then you're active in a group of people, and there's no math that comes up, there's no mathematics that comes up, the people will say to you, oh, what field are you in? You know, oh, I'm in the numbers racket. Oh, what you are? Well, what's that? Well, mathematics. What's mathematics all about? You know, like how to figure out where the moon is and how to get astronauts into space and back and how to have time schedules doing things. Oh, hey, that sounds kind of interesting. You're into a lot of things, you know, mathematics. Well, mathematics is a lot of things. Well, mathematics sounds like it's in every aspect of our life. That's right. Mathematics is in every aspect of our life. Now, you say you're a musician? Oh. And how are you a musician? Well, I'm a person who loves harmony, who loves peace, who loves balance. I'm a person who loves the integration of chords and themes and symbols and signals melding together to create great symphonies and stuff like that. And I look at the universe and I see how all the stars and the moon and the sun and the planets and all the galaxies are all interweaving each other and moving around in a great dance in the sky. You know, it's a beautiful melodic activity. It's fantastic. Oh my gosh, music is in everything, isn't it? That's right. And on with all the other possibilities. Now, is there ever a place that a great musician could be inharmonious and still be a great musician? No. Any musician who is a musician by their choice is a harmonious person. You say, well, I know some musicians who are not. That's because they didn't like harmonious music. They liked music that wasn't balanced, wasn't harmonious. There is some what we call music that is not balanced, not harmonious, and not desirable. But you can tell what type of a musician it is. You say, well, now, are you trying to say that rock music? Why did you say rock? Why did you bring up rock? Do you think rock's not harmonious? Some rock is not harmonious. That rock that is not harmonious is made by an inharmonious composer. Some of the great concerts, you might say, great orchestrations appear to be inharmonious. That's because you're listening to it with your one harmony ear. Now, I'm going to take all of you by the scruff of the neck, like a puppy dog, and I'm going to take you over to Japan, and I'm going to take you to a geisha house in Japan, where the women are performing beautiful music and singing and dancing for the customers. And the customers are eating and drinking and enjoying themselves. Okay, now, the geisha girls are talented women in whatever area they are. So they're playing their music, which is, to a Western ear, inharmonious. Because the way the tones are put together, the way the notes are gathered, the way they're half notes and quarter notes, and the way they're infiltrated into the whole notes and the whole pattern, and we think, what a silly thing. And then you go to India, and it's a little more melodious, but because their instruments are melodious. But then you're listening to them, and you think to yourself, oh my, that's not my thing at all. I'm into Western music. And then you go to Africa. Boom, 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 boom. And they do everything with drums years ago. The way the tribes would talk to each other on their personal telephone was with a drum. And they would send their messages back and forth. Well, now their drum is used in their dances. Their drum is used in all their things. And that's all they have, is a piece of hide across some sort of a thing that holds it tight, and then they hit it with a stick. Now, I'm not saying that in the belittling factor about any culture. I'm only saying that you are not harmonious with what they're doing. To them, that is the fulfillment of their ear, of their inner ear, of their music. Now, do they have values? When a Japanese person comes to the United States and turns on Western music, do you think the Japanese finds it harmonious right away? What does the Japanese do? He becomes accustomed to it. And as he becomes accustomed to it, it matters what he becomes accustomed to. Now, if he's becoming accustomed to jazz, or to hard rock, or classic, or whatever, that will be the modus operandi for his thought. It'll be the theme for how he listens to music and judges it. And he will say that this is real music, this rock is real music, and this classical is not music at all. Well, now, these are values. These are values on the tonal scale, on the music scale. Now, where are our values on a moral scale? Well, there are no values on a moral scale. A moral scale is an is, and it has nothing to do with music or harmony or anything else like that. It just is an is. Is it right to have a relationship with your husband before you get married? Well, now, in the 20, 30, 40 years ago, when I was growing up, it wasn't right. Now, that they did it is another thing, but it wasn't right. It was, my mother was very, not adamant about it, but she just said, don't bring your boyfriends into the house. Mother, what do you think we're going to do with them? You teach us that we're not supposed to have a relationship before we get married. What do you think we're going to do with them if we bring them in the house? And if I take them up to my bedroom, what do you think we're going to do with them, you know? You see, mother herself had a mixed value. She thought that anyone in her world could have values that were like hers or contrary to hers. And what were mother's values? Mother's values were, you can't do it. Not mother's value is, we wait, when we get married, then we have a relationship, you know. Now, okay. Now, in Polynesian tribes, the priests have a relationship with the girl to make sure that she can get pregnant, and then, after they prove she can get pregnant, then she can get married. Because the guys don't want a woman that's not going to produce, you know. And so the priests check them out ahead of time, and then the children that are born of the priests join the church, so to speak, you know. They're part of the church family, but whatever. Now, you say, oh, that sounds strange. No, not really. Not really. What is the purpose of procreation? Procreation is the matter of the continuance of the race of people. Because if you didn't have babies, pretty soon there'd be no people, would there? Mm-hmm. If certain animals stop having little animals, then that species of animal soon ceases to be. And this is how it is. Now, but where do our values come in? Where do our moral standards come in? Well, our moral standards are not values. Our moral standards are merely rules of one society or another. Now, if you say our moral standard is that we don't hit each other, we don't steal, we don't take from each other, well, those are just ordinary rules of good conduct and getting along, because if you violate those, people will shoot you, and they'll put you in jail, they'll do different things. And that's not morals or virtues. Morals or virtues are where you feel that you are in harmony with your community, you're in harmony with your family, you're in harmony with yourself. Those are your moral values. A universe that's not harmonious with itself, the planets would be bumping into each other and the galaxies would be all kittywampus and getting out of shape and so on. You see, our true values, our true morals, if you will, are those things that bring harmony, peace, joy, and happiness in our life. Now, what brings harmony, peace, joy, and happiness in your life? Ellen was married for so many years, and then she no longer was interested in sex. She no longer was interested in the possession part of the relationship, and her husband was. And so she said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, you know. And should I stay married or should I not be married? Or what should I do? Well, you talk it over with your husband. And if he feels that he has to have a relationship, then the agreement that you got married under no longer stands. So you have to set up a new agreement, either to separate or to live together and to do whatever you want to do. Now, is Ellen strong enough to do something like that? Does she have the moral values from her parents and her parents' parents and her family that allow her to live in sin, you know, with someone who is not her husband or with her husband or whatever? You understand? So what are our real values? What is it that Ellen wanted? And this is what Ellen really wanted. She wanted harmony in her family. She developed different desires and different values in herself, and those had to somehow harmoniously fit with her family. Now, you all do this. You all do this. Beatrice here, she got herself married. And when she got herself married, she had to put a big sign on herself. No longer available. She's no longer on the market. You cannot come up to her and say, Beatrice, I want to marry you. I'm already married. But Beatrice, I'm better than what you got. Well, that may be, but I made an agreement with what I've got, and I'm going to stay with what I've got. That's who I am, you know. But Beatrice could be tempted, couldn't she? She could be tempted by these very beautiful beings coming up finally and saying to her, Beatrice, I've always admired you. I've always loved you. I've always wanted to take you out and have fun with you. Well, why didn't you do it, she said. And, you were so wonderful, so grand, I was afraid to ask you. Well, now it's too late. Now I have made a choice, and I have the
perfect man.
You're a little late. I now have
the ideal man.
I now have the ideal man. Well, I'm the ideal man. You may have been, but you're out of season now. The ideal man is in my stable, and you're not there. And you see, that is all I play with. They're the horses that are in my stable. And I don't do any otherwise. I have a beautiful son, and I have a beautiful daughter, and I have a beautiful world, and this is my world. No way, I don't have anything else, right? Two daughters, right?
Yeah, one daughter, one son.
That's what I said.
Yes.
But I looked at you and I thought perhaps there's another daughter that came out there that you weren't telling us about. Okay, so that sets your values. That sets your program. Now, if Oscar died and you were again on the market, maybe you're not on the market. Maybe you had the what husband?
The ideal.
Maybe you had the ideal husband and you didn't want to take a chance on ever finding another one. You know, so you'd rather live with the memory of the ideal husband rather than testing out new ideal husbands. But you see, what are your values? What's Ellen's values? Why did Ellen no longer be interested in sex? You say, well, how could that be? I mean, who could never be interested in sex? Well, once you're walking on your spiritual path so completely, so wonderfully, that you feel a goodness, a warmth inside of yourself, you want to embrace the world. And if you're interested in sex and you embrace the world, they'll get the message that you want to have sex. If you are interested in your pure values, your pure essence of yourself, the world will get that message and never touch you, never violate your ethics, never violate your values for yourself. Depends on who you think you are, who you think you are. And if you think that you're God's gift to men or women, you know, then you will be crowded with men eager to make you happy. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's just your values. And you cannot say the values have spiritual values, that the values have moral values, that the values have ethical values to them. They're just, what is it that makes your world go round? And then you live according to it. Now, we here in California have a set of values. And that value is that when you're married, you do such things. When you're not married, you can do such things. When you are so old, you can do such things. When you're too young, you can't do them. When you're too old, lucky you, you know, to do whatever you want to do. But the thing is, you see, and those are ethical, spiritual, moral, legal values that are placed upon us. And if you're going to live in California, you better live by the rules of California. That better be your values, your ethics, your morals, you see. If you're going to live in Georgia, they have different values. I think you can get married at the age of 12 in Georgia, you know, which is quite interesting. Yeah, different states have different values on these things because children were married younger, you know, because there was reason for it at the time, which is not important. Now, in Polynesia, well, for instance, you say, married at 12? What kind of, are you blind? How many kings married their queen when the queen was in the crib, you know, not even out of diapers yet? That didn't mean they were having a sexual relationship. That meant that they were marrying the two families. But the marriage had to be a real marriage, and it had to be a binding marriage, or else the families would not be united. Yes, you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, where are the values there? Where are the morals there? You see, it's not that they're immoral or not without values, it's just that things are done for whatever reason, and those are the things that we base our life on. So, I like to say, be myself and have fun. And when I'm myself and have fun, what gives me to be myself and to have fun is to do all the things that are harmonious with the community in which I'm living, in the society in which I'm living, in the culture in which I'm living, in the philosophy, and the philosophy perhaps should come in the front, but the philosophy which I'm living. That is me, and you know all about me. You know me from A to Z, because there's nothing else to be known. Only then can I be the perfect musician or the mathematician, absolute. Living my absolute quality, everyone looks at me and says, oh, you are a Mennonite, you know, or you are an Amish person, you know, or you're a Catholic. Oh, you're a mathematician. Oh, you know, you're a musician. See, that all comes under the same ilk, ILK. It comes under the same genesis. It comes under the same program. And that program is, who are you? So now, I'm going to be watching all of you during this next month very closely, because I would like to figure out who you are. I know who I am. I'm being myself and having fun all the time. Now, are you being yourself and having fun all the time? If you are, then I'll get to know you too. And if you're not, if you feel sorry for yourself, or if you ever want to kick me in the butt, if you ever want to cut my throat, if you ever want to get rid of me because I'm just too much, then you're a very bad creator. Because you should create yourself being yourself and having fun, and you should create me being myself and having fun, and you should create them being the same, or else you shouldn't be here. Because if this is where you are, then that's what we do. And if that's not what you are, and that's not what we do, then somewhere we got our wires crossed. So, if you are a nerd, join a nerd society of geniuses and computers and geniuses and this and that. We're not nerds here. We might not even spiritual nerds. What we are is we are just balanced, harmonious beings, being ourselves and having fun. Is that true?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so it is. Have a lovely morning, and be yourself and have fun. And remember, I can only see in you what I am, and I like me.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.